On July 2nd in 1997, a science fiction comedy hit the big screen. The Men in Black movie franchise, with its witty banter, flashy gadgets, and alien hijinks, were defining additions to pop culture in the 90s. Starring Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, the films followed the journeys of a secret agency as they worked to contain the secrets of alien life on Earth. If someone saw an alien, both agents would visit them and get as much information as possible. Then, they'd wipe their memory and replace it with a more plausible explanation for what they'd experienced. The franchise was lighthearted, imaginative, and endlessly entertaining, cementing the Men in Black as pop icons. To this day, you could still go to the Men in Black ride at Universal Studios. But the truth behind the legend is far from comedic. Strip away the humor and charm, and you're left with a chilling dichotomy. The real-life stories of the Men in Black are anything but fun. They are unsettling tales of intimidation, fear, and secrecy. Witnesses describe shadowy figures who appear after UFO sightings or unexplained events, often delivering cryptic warnings or issuing veiled threats to stay silent. These are not heroes saving the world, they are harbingers of dread who haunt the edges of extraordinary phenomena. This juxtaposition between the playful portrayal in the movies and the sinister reality of the original accounts is what makes the Men in Black so fascinating. How did these mysterious figures evolve from the terrifying enforcers of silence to the charming protectors of Earth we see on the screen? And what can the true stories tell us about the nature of secrecy, conspiracy, and the unknown? In this episode of Still Unsolved, we will journey into the darker origins of the Men in Black mythos. It's time to step beyond Hollywood's lens and into the shadowy world where the Men in Black first emerged, not as protectors, but as figures of fear and mystery.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's rewind to where it all began, Maury Island in 1947. It was a quiet afternoon when Harold Dahl, a harbor master, set out to the Puget Sound near Maury Island, Washington. Accompanied by his son, his dog, and two crew members, Dahl's task was routine: collect the logs that had drifted into the harbor. But what he encountered that day was anything but routine. It was the start of one of the most puzzling UFO mysteries in American history. As he guided his small boat across the tranquil waters, his attention was suddenly drawn to the sky. There, above the island, hovered six massive metallic objects. They were these circular donut-shaped discs about 100 feet in diameter, and they seemed to defy all logic as they floated silently in formation. The group watched in stunned silence as the strange crafts remained suspended in the air. Then, without warning, one of the discs appeared to malfunction. It wobbled unsteadily, and the other five moved into a defensive pattern around it. Moments later, the struggling craft released a torrent of metallic debris, a fiery rain of materials that plummeted toward the water below. The debris was no ordinary metal. Some of it resembled a light white substance, almost like aluminum, while other fragments were molten and dark, burning intensely as they fell. One large, red-hot fragment stuck to the deck of Dahl's boat. Terrified, Dahl steered the boat to safety, narrowly avoiding further harm. When the strange objects finally left, vanishing into the sky as quickly as they had appeared, the crew was left shaken and bewildered. Dahl collected some of the debris and returned to shore. He confided in his boss, Fred Chrisman, who reportedly went back to the site and witnessed the disc for himself. The next day, Dahl was approached by a man that he didn't recognize, a man dressed sharply in a black suit. And this stranger wasn't just any man. He exuded an unnerving presence, speaking in a calm but chilling tone. He invited Dahl to breakfast, which he took him up on. During their meal, he described the events of the previous day with unsettling accuracy, down to the smallest detail. Dahl hadn't told anyone outside of his small circle about the incident, so how could this man know so much? As the meal progressed, the man in black issued a warning. He advised Dahl to forget what he had seen. Speaking in cryptic phrases, he implied that discussing the incident further would lead to dire consequences. Feeling both intimidated and perplexed, Dahl heeded the warning, at least for a time. Dahl's accounts eventually reached the ears of military intelligence, drawing attention from the Air Force and sparking a wave of UFO curiosity around the nation. In the years that followed, some dismissed the incident as a hoax, while others pointed to it as one of the first modern UFO encounters. And the mysterious man in black? Well, he became a legend, the earliest documented figure in the phenomenon that would later grow into the lore of the Men in Black. Was Harold Dahl the victim of an elaborate government cover-up, or did he encounter something not of this world? The Maury Island incident might sound like the opening act of a sci-fi thriller, but for Harold Dahl, it was a chilling reality, a reality that others would have to face as well. Next, we fast forward to the early 1950s, where Albert K. Bender would face his own unsettling encounter. It was the early 1950s, a time of flying saucer mania sweeping across America. In the midst of this frenzy, Albert K. Bender, a mild-mannered office clerk in Bridgeport, Connecticut, emerged as one of the most enthusiastic UFO researchers in the country. He wasn't just interested in extraterrestrials, he was obsessed. Bender turned the attic of his modest home into a Gothic headquarters for his International Flying Saucer Bureau, or IFSB, the first civilian organization dedicated to studying UFOs. The place was decorated with eerie artwork and dim lighting, creating an atmosphere that felt more like a seance parlor than a research hub. The IFSB grew quickly, attracting members from all over the world who shared Bender's insatiable curiosity about what might be out there. But in 1953, just a year after its founding, Bender abruptly shut down the IFSB. His explanation was cryptic.
The mystery of the flying saucers is no longer a mystery. The source is already known, but any information about this is being withheld by orders from a higher source.
The UFO community was stunned. What could have driven Bender to abandon his passion so suddenly? The answer, as he would reveal later, was far stranger than anyone could have imagined. One night, as Bender worked alone in his attic, he began to feel an oppressive presence. The air seemed to grow heavy, and an inexplicable chill ran down his spine. Suddenly, three men appeared. They were dressed impeccably in black suits, their faces pale and expressionless. Their eyes seemed to pierce right through him. "They floated in my room," Bender later recounted. "Their eyes lit up like flashbulbs." He described an overwhelming sensation of fear as the men communicated with him telepathically, ordering him to cease his UFO investigations immediately. They revealed to him secrets about the origins of flying saucers, secrets so horrifying, he claimed, that he dared not share them with anyone. These men in black were agents from another planet, Bender would later write in his book. They had been sent to Earth to suppress the truth about UFOs and to monitor human activity related to their crafts. The encounter left Bender so shaken to his core, he suffered from intense headaches and a mysterious illness that persisted for weeks. His colleagues at work noticed his sudden change in demeanor. He seemed distracted, paranoid, and fearful. He confided in a few friends that he was being watched and that any attempt to continue his research would put him in grave danger. And this wasn't the only visit. Over the following weeks, Bender claimed the Men in Black returned several times, sometimes appearing in his home and other times telepathically intruding into his thoughts. Their presence was always accompanied by a sense of dread and an unshakable feeling that they were not of this world. Terrified, he decided to heed their warning. He shut down the IFSB, stopped publishing his UFO newsletter, and withdrew from public life. Though he later tried to share his experiences through his books, many found his accounts to be surreal, even fantastical. Yet, there were others who believed every word, pointing to his sudden withdrawal as evidence.
"I was forced to keep silent by those who control the phenomenon. They are everywhere, and they watch everyone who dares to seek the truth."
Whether skeptics or believers, no one could deny that Albert K. Bender's story marked the beginning of the modern Men in Black legend. His terrifying encounters painted a picture of shadowy figures operating at the fringes of reality, their purpose a complete mystery. Were they government agents given the task of silencing UFO witnesses? Or were they, as Bender believed, emissaries from another world? Bender's story is striking, not just for its bizarre details, but for the lasting fear it instilled in him. And his encounters with the Men in Black marked a crucial turning point. By the mid-1960s, the Men in Black were no longer just a fringe story. They were becoming a broader tapestry of a paranormal and UFO phenomena. They were tied to one of the most infamous cryptic sightings in American history, the Mothman.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It was November of 1966, and John Keel, a journalist and UFOologist with a taste for the bizarre, found himself drawn to a small town in West Virginia. Point Pleasant, nestled along the Ohio River, was not a place anyone would expect to become a hotspot for unexplained phenomena, but the events unfolding there were anything but ordinary. Reports of a strange, red-eyed creature had been making waves in the local news. Witnesses described it as a towering figure with massive wings capable of flying at incredible speeds. They called it the Mothman. Keel always chased a good story, so he packed his bags and headed to Point Pleasant to investigate. Keel arrived to find an unsettling atmosphere in the town. Sightings of the Mothman were escalating, and residents spoke in hushed tones about strange lights in the sky and eerie noises in the woods. But what intrigued Keel the most were the accounts of shadowy visitors, men dressed in black suits who seemed to appear out of nowhere. One such encounter was reported by Mary Heyer, a local journalist and Keel's confidant during his investigation. In the mid-1960s, Point Pleasant, West Virginia was a quiet town where news was often limited to local events and community affairs. Mary Heyer, a dedicated reporter for the Athens Messenger, was at the heart of this community, managing the newspaper's office on 6th Street. Her column, Where the Waters Mingle, typically covered local happenings, but in 1966, her reporting took a dramatic turn. The town became the epicenter for a series of strange occurrences, sightings of a mysterious creature dubbed the Mothman, unexplained lights in the sky, and encounters with enigmatic figures known as the Men in Black. Heyer's office became a hub for eyewitnesses, eager to share their unsettling experiences. And then, Heyer herself became part of the story. Late one chilly evening, as she burned the midnight oil at her desk, a strange man walked into her office. He was short, no more than 5 feet tall, with a dark complexion and deep-set, hypnotic eyes shielded by thick glasses. Dressed in a crisp black suit that seemed new but oddly outdated, he exuded an aura that was both peculiar and unnerving. "Can I help you?" Heyer asked, trying to mask her unease. The man spoke in a low, monotonous tone. "I am a searcher," he said slowly, enunciating each word with deliberate care. He began asking her questions about the local UFO sightings, but his inquiries were disjointed. It seemed as if he didn't really understand the subject. His behavior grew even stranger when he noticed a pen on her desk. He picked it up, staring at it with a childlike fascination. "You can have it if you'd like," Heyer offered politely. The man let out a peculiar, high-pitched laugh, a sound that sent a chill down Heyer's spine. Clutching the pen tightly, he turned abruptly and walked out the door, disappearing into the night. On another occasion, Heyer was stopped on the street by a man wearing the same impeccable black suit and thick-soled shoes that seemed brand new. He was tall and gaunt, with skin that appeared almost translucent under the streetlights. Without introducing himself, he began asking detailed questions about the recent strange occurrences and the people involved. "How do you think the people would react if we told them the truth about what's happening here?" he asked, his gaze unwavering. "Excuse me, but who are you?" Heyer demanded, her journalistic instincts kicking in. The man ignored the question, repeating his inquiry with an eerie insistence. Feeling increasingly uncomfortable, Heyer ended the conversation and hurried away. These encounters left Heyer deeply unsettled. She confided in John Keel, who was in town investigating the Mothman sightings and other paranormal events. Together, they noted patterns. The men's odd speech, their unfamiliarity with common objects, and their intimidating presence. Keel himself received mysterious phone calls and experienced strange phenomena, further intertwining their experiences. One of the most alarming incidences occurred when Heyer began receiving phone calls late at night. The voice on the other end was often metallic and unnatural, sometimes speaking in a language she couldn't identify. Other times, there was just silence or a series of beeps and electronic tones. Despite changing her number, the calls persisted. In one of their last conversations, Heyer told Keel, "I have this feeling that they're watching me. Not just following, but watching. Like they know where I am even when I can't see them." Her niece, Connie Carpenter, also reported frightening experiences, which included encountering similar men who tried to question her. Mary Heyer's role extended beyond that of a reporter. She became an integral part of the unfolding mystery in Point Pleasant. Her credibility gave weight to the unbelievable stories that were circulating in the town. Despite the fear, she continued to document the events, determined to bring light to the darkness. Tragically, Mary Heyer passed away unexpectedly in February of 1970. Some locals whispered that her death was linked to the ominous events that had plagued the town, though no evidence supported such claims. Her legacy, however, lives on through the accounts she bravely reported and the courage she displayed in the face of the unknown. Mary Heyer's experiences added a profound depth to the Mothman saga and the lore of the Men in Black. Her encounter suggests that these mysterious figures were not just harassing lone witnesses, but were actively attempting to suppress information through intimidation. Her story underscores the human element amidst the supernatural, a reminder of the real people who grappled with the events that defied explanation. Her unwavering commitment to uncovering the truth, even when faced with inexplicable and intimidating forces, continues to inspire those who delve into the mysteries of Point Pleasant. As mentioned before, Keel himself experienced the unsettling presence of the Men in Black. He received strange phone calls at all hours, the voice on the other end often distorted or inhuman. Sometimes the calls predicted events that would later come true. One particular chilling call warned Keel of an impending disaster. The voice on the line said,
"There will be a great tragedy on the Silver Bridge."
On December 15, 1967, just weeks later, the Silver Bridge connecting Point Pleasant to Ohio collapsed during rush hour, killing 46 people. Throughout his time in Point Pleasant, Keel collected numerous accounts of Men in Black encounters. Witnesses described them as odd, otherworldly, and intimidating. They often appeared after a UFO sighting or a Mothman encounter, questioning witnesses in peculiar ways and sometimes issuing veiled threats. Their physical descriptions varied slightly. Some were pale and robotic, others more human-like, but their purpose seemed clear: to suppress any investigation into the strange events. Keel's chronicled his experiences and those of Point Pleasant's residents in his 1975 book, The Mothman Prophecies. The book weaves together the Mothman sightings, UFO activity, the Men in Black, and the Silver Bridge collapse into a chilling narrative that suggests a world far stranger than we can ever imagine. Despite skeptics dismissing his work as fiction or exaggeration, Keel maintained that the events he documented were real. He believed that the Men in Black were not government agents, but something far more sinister, perhaps even interdimensional beings tasked with manipulating and obscuring human understanding of the paranormal. "Reality is so much more complex than we understand," Keel wrote. "The Mothman, the Men in Black, they are just glimpses into that complexity." John Keel's story is a haunting blend of journalism, folklore, and the unexplained. It reminds us that the line between the known and the unknown is often razor thin, and that the truth, as elusive as it may be, is always worth pursuing. The Men in Black phenomenon is a captivating and eerie thread that weaves through the UFO and paranormal lore. Despite the variations in individual accounts, certain recurring patterns and characteristics always emerge. These patterns provide intriguing clues about the nature and purpose of these mysterious figures. One of the most striking consistencies in MIB accounts is their physical appearance. Witnesses often describe the Men in Black as men dressed in immaculate black suits, white shirts, and dark ties. Their clothing appears flawless, almost as though it were brand new or unused. Some reports even suggest that their attire seems outdated, as if they were imitating a style from decades past. Beyond their clothing, the MIB often exhibit peculiar physical traits like their skin tone and odd facial features and their mechanical movements. Interactions with the MIB are often marked by bizarre communication styles. Witnesses report that they have monotone voices, formal or stilted language, and difficulty with basic objects or concepts. The MIB encounters almost always follow significant UFO sightings, paranormal experiences, or the reporting of such events. This timing suggests that the MIB aimed to suppress or control the spread of information related to the unexplained phenomena. Another recurring pattern is the use of threats, whether overt or implied. Witnesses often feel intimidated or frightened, even when no direct harm is threatened. This fear seems to be a deliberate tactic to ensure compliance and silence. The patterns in these encounters have fueled numerous theories about who or what the Men in Black might be. Some believe they might be government agents, and others believe that they might be extraterrestrials. As we wrap up this episode, we are left with more questions than answers. Who are the Men in Black, truly? Are they guardians of a fragile balance or agents of suppression? Or maybe we're focused on the wrong thing. The story of the Men in Black is not just about UFOs, cryptids, or conspiracies. At its core, it's about the profound tension between our drive to uncover the truth and the forces that seem determined to keep it hidden. This tension resonates deeply because it reflects a universal human experience. How many recent stories can you think of where the general public has questions, but the powers that be keep those answers to themselves? We crave understanding, yet the closer we come to uncovering the unknown, the more resistance we face. Through the eerie tales of Harold Dahl, Albert K. Bender, and the chilling events in Point Pleasant, we see this conflict play out time and time again. Witnesses are drawn to understand the extraordinary, to share what they've seen, yet they find themselves silenced, frightened, and even discredited. The Men in Black stand as both protectors and suppressors of secrets. The question now is not just who they are, but what don't they want us to know?
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.